CliffCentral.com.
All right. CliffCentral.com live on Wednesday morning. Gord, Sia, Gareth, you, me, everybody else. You know, we're all on this ship this morning together, sailing into the Wednesday and into the long weekend. Tomorrow, officially the last day of this week, and we've got another short week next week. So 4-day week. We're going to get used to this. And then, God knows, we might end up like Microsoft tested this thing. They tested a 4-day week and they found people's productivity went up by 40%. So I think we should seriously investigate the 4-day week as a permanent situation. Wouldn't mm-hmm. that be nice?
And it's not, it's also like the approach to COVID kind of should be. It's like, you're not saying you have to go and expose yourself to danger. Mm. You say you have every opportunity and facilitation to not expose yourself to danger, and maybe even some rules that people can't really be forced to work in a closed space if they don't have to.
Right.
But you should be able to go and put yourself at risk if you want.
Correct.
Understand, like, a period of national or global containment,
right,
but it has to be a temporary measure. Ultimately, people should be able to choose whether to go out into a world with a sickness they might catch or stay home and not. So it's the same as the 4-day week. You're not saying you can't. Those of you mega productive people are probably working on the weekend anyway. You can work if you want to on a Friday, but people who employ you, certainly in the advertising and media industry, there's zero regard for employment hours. Your employers own you 24 hours a day, and the agreement is we'll try mostly give you your work during this time.
Right.
It's not like there's a massive project and for 1 or 2 days of the month you work late. You always work late. Your job is until we let you go home.
But
then get up at 4 a.m. Dude. And do it. So you should – there should be parameters on the amount of time you pay to work and a maximum to the amount of additional time you're allowed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is your time. You are paid to be there from Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday. And after that, they need to remunerate you or ask you to do it as a favor. So, you know, I'm not saying people shouldn't work hard. Whatever the terms of your job is, however hard you have to work or however much work you have to do, agree to that.
In other words, you're not measured on time. You're measured on productivity.
Well, I'm more for being measured on productivity than time. I'm just saying there comes a point at which if there was too much work to do, then there was too much work to do, and we go again tomorrow or on Monday, or where your person is not capable of delivering. But to always give people more than they can deliver as just normal when they're not incentivized.
Well, we get lots of questions like this, and see, people want to know your headphones, are they Beats? Someone likes them. Someone was rude about your headphones the other day. They said they looked like they came out of a Lucky packet, but those are pretty sharp headphones. Where are they from? What kind are they?
They are Skullcandy, not Beats.
Oh, okay.
It'd be so funny if you made headphones that looked like beetroots and called them Beats. I would pay for that. But I've been trying to get a freebie bribe headphones from the listeners for 3 years, saying, look, I'll plug them. Even if Gareth doesn't want me to, I'll have done it before he can stop me. Yeah. I'll plug them. Just give me some free headphones. And then I bought some headphones, and they were brilliant. I used them on the last couple of shows, and they were brilliant. And then they just stopped working. But the most satanic thing was, because Bluetooth headphones, they go connected.
Mm.
Period.
Mm.
Power on.
I've got
connected.
I've got a,
and it wouldn't stop doing that. And you can still hear it, even if it's not in your head.
Mm.
I eventually had to put them in the guest room cupboard until the battery died. Then I plugged it in to check if maybe that would fix the problem, and it was going connected for the next 24 hours. I almost set it on fire.
I listen to podcasts even when I'm showering. So I have a little speaker in the shower that I switch on. I turn on the water in the shower, then I switch on the speaker, and it goes connecting to Cuboid or whatever this thing is called. And then it's a smart Cuboid. They guys who make like local tech products, very good company actually. And then it connects, and then it goes connected, but it starts off by going, how's it? Because it's South African, so it goes, how's it? Connecting.
I've come to realize I don't know if there's not a scientifically accurate way to test the theory. It could be correlation and not cause, but I've started watching a YouTuber who's Hawaiian.
Yes.
And he does, like, he says aloha like he's from there, right? Because he's like a white dude, but he looks like a little bit like he's probably not first generation Hawaiian. He's got that Hawaiian white dude vibe. And he goes, how's it? Aloha. And that's like his thing. How's it? Aloha. But he says, how's it? Like he's from Joburg.
That's amazing.
So I think I think how's it maybe a Hawaiian thing also.
Maybe.
Either that or it's his personal thing, and it just happens to be, he goes, how's it? Aloha. It's very cool.
That is cool.
I can't fake it. You can't fake the cool aloha unless you're from there.
Steph also wants to know, Steph's asking lots of questions this morning about Sia's headphones and now what are my top 10 podcasts. Well, I'm not going to go through top 10, but the other day I gave a couple of suggestions. I've been a fan of this podcast, which if you haven't heard it at all, it's really cool and it's worth listening to. It's just hilarious and crazy and out there. It's something called Dear Joan and Jerrica. Dear Joan and Jerrica.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, is this thing funny or what? If you've never heard, so it looks something like that. That's the little icon, right? Dear Joan and Jerrica. And these women are, oh, Jesus, they're funny. So they're basically these two women who give like agony aunt advice, but all their advice is extremely bad and very, very vicious and completely like old school. So they blame everything in relationships that goes wrong on the women. And they always say, oh, it's because you don't care about your man enough and you're not obviously not putting out enough and you're not wearing slutty outfits. And like, it's these two women and they've got these, this really messed up idea.
You
of
don't
how things
call,
should be.
Call like yeah. silly things.
Yeah. So if you really want to laugh your head off, I'm not going to give you 10 podcasts to listen to, but that's one to add to things.
My favorites are The King and the Sting, the Bill Burt podcast, and Answers with Joe.
I haven't heard any of those. What's the gist of those?
Bill Burt is Bill Burr and Burt Kreischer.
Oh, wow.
Bill Burt podcast, and it's excellent. They have a weekly conversation, and it's totally brilliant. King and the Sting is Theo Von and Brendan Schaub, and then they have like this team of like – they're called Culture Corner. They've got a black dude, a Korean guy, I think Kat's Vietnamese, and they defer anything that may be racist to them. So when they're like having a conversation and they can't decide the political correctness, they defer it to Culture Corner. Chappelle Lacey is this really funny comedian who's there. It's really good.
Awesome.
It's super funny, but they look like morons.
Yeah.
If you have to watch like two or three full episodes to realize there's like a humor subtext and that they're actually not just idiots being idiots. They're quite smart.
Yeah.
And I love The King and the Sting.
I remember when we were on radio, we used to have the King of All Blacks and the King of All Indians. And then we had the Queen of All Colors. And we had the Queen of All Colors. I mean, we could never do that now because we'd be accused of all kinds of racism. But whenever like something came up and we needed to know how to deal with it from a race point of view, we'd ask the King of All Blacks and then he'd give us his like take on things. In fact,
that's essentially a lighthearted take on that. Although all of the people in Culture Corner are there on the merits of that. They're cool and funny, but they just happen to be ethnically diverse where the two hosts are not. So they made it a thing. It's very good.
That's
I look forward to it every week.
Tracy's asking another housekeeping question. She says, what happened to the Cliff Central earphones? Well, we sold out. We only made, I think we made like a couple of thousand of them, and they're all sold out. I don't think there are any available anymore. It was kind of an experiment in product and merchandising, and it was a bit of a headache. I mean, people loved them, and it went really well. But I have to tell you, it's like it's not really our thing. You know, McDonald's shouldn't sell fish. I've said that a million times before. People enjoyed
the fish is big. That fillet o' fish is an institution. Mm. I don't personally care for it, but I know there's enough people where fillet o' fish is a part of their life that we shouldn't just go unilaterally deciding what McDonald's should sell.
And then
I still have my earphones actually still in the box.
Oh, really?
Still in the plastic wrapping. Because I have a feeling one day I'll be able to sell them for ridiculous amounts of money.
Which ones? Your Gareth Cliff, your Cliff Show ones?
Yeah.
Yep. There's a certain number of things that I have that I'm just sitting on waiting for the day.
I know that there were like still some when I started
could auction it off.
I know that there were still some when I started casually dropping how badly I'd like a free pair of headphones.
Yeah.
So I'm not... it's not putting any soothe on the wound.
No,
oh, God.
Winsterian Pikachu, which is the best name of anyone who listens to us, says he's giving us a little bit of language here in terms of where how's it comes from. He's even given us the how's it phonetic pronunciation. It says it's an exclamation in informal South African used as a greeting. It's the equivalent to hello or how are you? How's it, my China? Are you surprised to see me?
But so, the phonetic spelling is H-A-A-R-Z-I-T.
Yeah.
How's it?
How's it?
How's it, China? You guys don't know how to speak but.
Eleutheria says, I want a shower speaker. Yeah, it's a very cool thing. Like, I don't take very long showers, but it's nice to have when you're in the shower, it kind of accompanies what is normally a very boring washing of hair and general.
Bullshit. No part of me is boring, I'll have you know. Having getting up close and personal with it is always a privilege. But I bust out. I go full Broadway. I create entire like pantomimes and musicals about Blackie Chan and sometimes about how wet water is. But it's a time for me. I wouldn't want anybody stealing my spotlight. It's like you don't want Christina Aguilera as your backup singer. It's my moment.
You absolutely do.
No, you don't. Same as you don't want Eminem dropping the last verse guesting on your song.
Simon Herbert says, see, I'll give you $20 for your headphones.
If they're US bucks, wait a couple of weeks. That might be worth a lot.
Simon, you need to give me a better offer than this. Come on.
See? Does he mean actual bucks, though? Because we might be misunderstanding the offer. And this could actually be, that's a really good deal. Even if they Impala 20 of them for a pair of headphones, go for it.
I could take some kudu for that. Uh-huh.
All right.
Kudu with some kudu. Right?
Here's Mo. Mo from Ireland, who sent this email to me. Calm down, you two. Mo says this. Hey, Gareth. Seeing you guys on screen is definitely... Let's just let them calm down. This will take a minute, everybody. Just everyone mind your own business for 5 minutes.
I love Sia. The only reason I do this so I can make him laugh at least once every show.
Yes, Gordon, yes. Okay, sorry.
Okay. We could do with moving on.
I've started the timer. It usually they stop laughing hysterically at each other and only at each other after about 20 seconds. So we're almost there. And
I apologize.
There we are. Mo in Ireland says, watching you guys live on YouTube is making me feel a whole lot better about life. It looks like everybody has a great time. We broke the law in Ireland. It's still in full lockdown. And we had 13 people over for my wife's birthday on Saturday night. We smashed tequila and got shit-faced. My mate was
That's so that if one of your friends doesn't arrive or gets too hammered to participate, you have the spare one.
Yeah, right? you have 13 instead of 12. My mate was so hammered, he spent the whole night snacking on my cat food, thinking they were corn nips.
I wonder what cat food tastes like. I mean, not the liquid, not the wet kind, no. The kibble. The brown rocks. God. And I also wonder if Blackie Chan like wonders where the brown rocks come from. Like, what is the source of the brown rocks? Because that's literally a house cat's natural diet. Small brown stones.
Yeah, well, Mo says he likes sharing his stories with us because he says we feel like family. Isn't that nice?
Oh, Mo. You know, my bro.
All right, let's look at this. This is an interesting message. This is from someone who wants to remain anonymous. I'm a long-time listener. I want to say you and the team are doing a great job during lockdown because it's nonsense that we've been through, but less about that. I'll get straight into it. I am in love with Leanne Moll. I have a marriage proposal for her. I'm on my knees. Can she be my voice wife? I know she works a little in the porn industry with her voice, but I can look past that and we can make it work. If she says yes, she can wear one of the many rings that she has in her box while I send her mine. I have been home in Zimbabwe.
Getting a little bit sketchy, just to throw it out there.
I've been home.
NSFW. So.
Yeah, no. But what we'll do is we'll clear this up with Leanne next week.
Rings and boxes. Let's move on.
So I've been home in Zimbabwe for 3 weeks now, and I've got to say things are way worse than I thought they were in terms of government. I mean, people are still trying by all means to succeed and do their thing, despite the government's mercilessly screwing things up. They can't help themselves. The one issue I picked up, which got me, was the transport system. Granted, public taxis that are on the road are in the worst conditions you can imagine. Practically, they are moving on two wheels with one door open. But the government decided to ban all taxis from transporting people and institute public transportation. This would be great if they had buses and taxis to do that. So they're forced every taxi and bus owner to register their cars and fall under public transport, but the government gets to keep the money. It pays them every fortnight, a small percentage, plus gives fuel. You know, if you want to see how to run an economy badly, just copy and paste the idiots in Zimbabwe with their ideas. If the taxi is damaged, government gives spares to fix it, and then they take it out of their cut. Since it's not profitable, many of the owners have chosen not to look after their cars. As a result, it's caused a massive shortage of transport and has resulted in some of the unsafe modes of transport. People are now being carried around in Buc-ee's, and they attached this picture of like a whole lot of people in the back of like a Mitsubishi Buc-ee from the 1990s. And cars like the Nissan March, which has a capacity of 4, but then they carry 8. I just wanted to vent a little, since if you do on this side, you might end up in jail or disappear. My bad for a long email. Again, shout out to you and the one who shat his pants, who shall not be named. That's you, Sia.
So that was both a update on the traffic situation in Zimbabwe, and we totally glossed over the proposal to Leanne.
No,
we will not.
We will pass that on to Leanne very seriously next
week.
But
if it's a voice marriage, our homie needs to voice note.
Yeah.
Because that might have all been like, in Zimbabwe, it's really crap at the moment with the traffic. They've put everyone in Buc-ee's. But I love Leanne's voice. Can we get voice married?
So,
or else he might be like, hello, Leanne.
Yeah, he could sound great.
Super sensual. Sound like the main characters in an audio soap opera.
That's a very good point.
There's something so sad and off-putting about someone good-looking or even just decent-looking with a horrible voice.
Yeah. Oh. Big time.
Or the vice versa.
Mm. Oh. Well, that's why they say you shouldn't meet people from radio.
I found out Jenny Chris Williams wasn't a gorgeous woman in her late 20s after years of listening to her on the way home from high school. I'm not trying to throw shade on her. I mean, I'm not saying she's an unattractive woman. I just didn't know she was like a 60-year-old tunny. I thought she was like in that milfy hot thing. You know, when you're like 14 and someone in their 30s is like super hot milf, sort of like hot teacher slash young mom age.
You're right.
You know, when you're 17, 30, 35 is as good as being 50, but it's not like ancient. You could still ostensibly have a thing for someone who's 30 or 35 or 40 even. But I just imagined this belter of like the most attractive MILF you could ever dream of. And when I saw her, I was like, it's all ruined now. I listen to so much news for nothing.
Yeah. Well, listen, they say you shouldn't meet your heroes, especially not if you've only heard their voices. I've got good news.
Unless they're Metallica. Those dudes are awesome.
I've got good news for everybody who only tunes in to YouTube to see us. This morning, the great-looking Sean Sanders will join us, the co-founder of Revix, to tell us about cryptocurrencies. But many people only enjoy this part of the show because Sean used to be a cover model for Men's Health.
He is such a gosh darn babe. Him and George Meany, it's like you find these incredibly successful, blindingly handsome people, but you can't hate them because they're nice.
No, that's about right.
It's so crap when you can't hate them.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
Why don't you just be a bit of a dick at least once? Come on, man.
And then it would make it okay to hate them. Sean says, on the James May thing, they cook. James May has a cooking show, apparently, on Amazon Prime, and they cook wet cat food into shepherd's pies. And he and the producer eat it, and they quite enjoy it. That is,
dude, I'm for real gonna vom.
That is so disgusting.
It makes me want to vom. I can't feed a cat wet cat food. I literally have to just go human grade tuna and brown rocks, and like cat treats from the vet.
No,
I promise you, the idea of wet cat food.
When you say wet cat food, you mean the stuff in the tin, right?
Tin.
Oh. And they made that into shepherd's pie.
Oh, that stuff smells like a snook brothel.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's horrible. Oh, that's disgusting. Lenise says she loves his cooking show. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, Tracy Bard is heaving me too, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was mid-hit of a joint as well. That would have been the most spectacular online radio event in history. Man gags projectile vomits into camera.
God, can you imagine? So Eleutheria says, I won a quiz last week because I listened to George Meany. He's taught me so much about cars. You see? See? Little things.
They come for George Meany and they stay for the cars.
Hey, apparently that video, if you do want to see it, Gord, although I suppose you'll probably throw up, but if you do want to see it, it's on YouTube. Of James May eating cat food. I think I can skip that. I think I'll be okay with that.
If I hadn't not eaten for the last 12 hours, I would have hurled just from that conversation.
Oh, my God. How horrible. Yeah.
Just the smell of it.
It's so bad.
I can't.
Carl eats a little bit of that wet dog food in a tin, and then I mix it up with pellets, so he gets a bit of both, and then I put some water on it as well.
You get that lunch bar effect. You get the crunchy,
the
and
crunchy
the
and the smooth. It's so horrible.
And maybe he hates one and loves the other and can't ever express to you, like, could you stop ruining my
Yeah, I often think about that. I sometimes give him a little bit.
Like, experiment by putting them on the side, doing one on top of the other, give it a good mix.
Yeah, it's probably, I should do an experimental situation with him this week. I'll put one bowl with the wet stuff and one bowl with the dry, and we'll see which one he goes for. I'll do it this morning.
He's got chameleon eyes. I love that he can look at two different things at once.
Yeah. I've got to watch this because I always thought James May was pretty funny on the car show.
Yeah, the least of a douche out of those douches.
Yeah. What was that show called? Top Gear.
Top Gear.
Top Gear.
And now it's called the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
There is a skit on YouTube called Clarkson Island. I forget who made it, if you look for Clarkson Island, it's a parody about an island where all the Clarksons come from. It is the funniest ever.
It's by Harry Enfield.
It is so good. And it also just so cuttingly points out what douches those guys are, especially Clarkson.
Yeah, I like them both, though. They're very, very funny. And that what's the little guy, Richard Hammond?
I mean, look, they got a good turn of phrase. I'll give them that. I remember when I was taking I still take writing seriously, but really trying to learn and, you know, take in as many good writers as possible. And one of his comments on the show was, at that price, it better come with its own moon. And just the way that he delivered it, I was like, yeah, great turn of phrase, but you're still a douche. Apparently, they were so unbearable to the producers.
Oh, really?
So they were, now we can do whatever we want. You shut up, sweetheart. That kind of thing.
All right.
They're just blokes. They're like old dudes that are a bit tone deaf to why their humor's not funny. And I'm not a snowflake and whatever. You just sometimes like, that was meant to make you big and the other person small. That was what that joke was. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Claire and James both want to know questions from you. They want answers from you, Gord. The first question is from James. He says, are you the voice dude for a florist company on radio?
I've done an ad for a florist company, except I was kind of a supporting character.
Okay. And then Claire says, Gord, you've got to give Blackie Chan the cat moose vibe in the very small tin just once for her birthday. It's amazing.
I thought that it said cat mouse in a tin. And I'm like, that is genius. Like, that's what a cat's natural diet is. They eat mice, right? So, Blackie Chan, you're the best mouse keeper. She's looking forlornly out the door, and I have to keep the door closed because it's early, and then the neighbors complain when I talk too loud in the day. So, Blackie Chan is literally staring out. She's other ways she can get out, but the door is her chosen way, and she's like sitting parked in front of it forlornly.
So, is there cat moose? Is that something you could buy?
Yeah, if that's a thing and cats love it, I'll go get it. I don't care what it costs. Now Blackie Chan will know about it and so therefore expect me to provide it immediately.
Because she speaks English.
Does it smell like a snook brothel when you open it?
Oof, that's horrible. That's really
Blackie Chan, come here and show the people. Come in.
Yeah, introduce, put Blackie Chan on screen. Yeah, we want to see her. People always ask for this stuff. I don't know if anybody saw this, and once Gord has shown us the cat, then I'll carry on with the story. But basically, there we go. There's Blackie Chan, the famous Blackie Chan. Blackie Chan is so dark and so black that she actually absorbs light from – you can't see
– She's made of anti-catter.
Yeah.
She's actually the absence of cat. So a room with no cats in it has plus minus one more cats than when Blackie Chan's around.
Let me just.
You have to put a cat in a room with Blackie Chan to get it to zero. Except we don't know what will happen if Blackie Chan and an all-white cat come into contact. They'll either just cancel each other out and a little drop of water will form and it'll go boop, or the entire universe will be torn asunder. So we avoid these experiments. But Blackie Chan is not really there. She's a cat-shaped hole in the universe.
I've got to tell you the story quickly that came up in the news this week, and it's a great story because it's about what's going on in South Africa, and I know you're going to hate this as much as I do, Gord, because there are a lot of people who drive these fancy cars, and they claim in their tax returns that they're earning less than 34 grand a month. So Judge Dennis Davis, who's been he's been very outspoken. He's got the Dennis Davis Tax Committee, which is trying to figure out what people really earn and what they declare. He said during a webinar this week that in South Africa, they went to a hotel, a very expensive hotel in South Africa, and they could have either been Cape Town or Joburg, I'm not sure. They found 24 Ferraris parked outside, right? Or 26 Ferraris. And
all parked outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these were all, they were all being driven by people who were inside the hotel or at a restaurant nearby or whatever. So what they did is they did, because SARS can do this, they did a search on the license plates to see who owned them and what their tax returns were. Data Ooh. Highlighted that apparently not one of those 26 Ferraris owners returned a taxable income of more than 400,000 rand a year or 34,000 rand a month, which means they were all saying,
they don't have any money left because they're buying Ferraris.
No, but the point is you can't afford a Ferrari if you're only on 34 grand a month.
Stick a tiny sticker on it that says Ferrari Delivery Company, FDC, and then once a month deliver someone something in a Ferrari for 10 Rand. And now it's not only a taxable income, but it's the reason you only have 35 grand a month, because you're spending 90 on your company Ferrari.
You know what we mean. It's not
possible.
I know,
but I mean, these guys are one sticker and a drop off at a pal's house a month away from having no problem.
That's not legit.
Yeah.
And you should... If you are driving a Ferrari, you should be earning a lot more than that. And he was basically saying...
And you should first use the money to have a penis attached to your body.
Correct. What a waste of time. But it just shows you, the point here is that, like, you've got all these people driving in these very fancy sports cars, these very expensive supercars.
Maybe.
And they can't afford them. Or they're lying about... the fact that they earn so little, which is probably more likely, just so that they can dodge tax.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, this is costing the country. And I'm no fan of tax, by the way. I think if you can avoid, not
yes, I would love
evade.
To not pay it. I mean, when I don't have electricity for more than one day a year, you should not have my hundreds of thousands of tax rand.
I agree with that.
Look, most of the wealthy and wealthier people that I know in my life have some sort of loophole that they're going
through. Well, tax avoidance is legal and to an extent kind of not encouraged, but considered best practice.
Yeah. It's evasion.
Due diligence.
It's a problem.
Tax evasion is illegal. So, you know, these guys who are earning nothing and owning Ferraris, they're obviously doing it on a criminal level. But, you know, just in terms of like that whole thing of buying stuff you can't necessarily afford. Like, I'm not one to judge. It's not, I don't have the money for a 2 million rand Merc, so I can't criticize people who do. Like, I made the no penis joke now about people with Ferraris. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that oak who doesn't have a supercar throwing shade on people who do. I do personally think, though, that if I had an unlimited amount of money, there are so many things. I would just feel like a douche in a Ferrari. But someone who's made the money and got a Ferrari, good for you. Thing is, in my complex, there's a very sort of middling Norwegian complex. And I see... half of the places here have cars parked in the parking spaces, half of them, that cost more than any unit in this complex. Mm. I don't think there's a unit in this complex that goes for more than 1.5 bar max. They're all 2-bedroom units. And there's cars for 1 to 2 million. Half of the cars are worth more than the houses. And I'm pretty sure those people are renting too. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but literally I'm seeing like 15 to 20,000 rand car payments in my mind and like half of that in rent.
I know people whose cars are more expensive than their property.
If you're huge into cars and you don't mind a place that's utilitarian, I mean, it's not a criticism. I'm just like, it's something I've noted.
But I do think that since lockdowns and coronavirus, I think people's cars are making, you know, you see people's cars a whole lot less. You see their houses more because they're on conference calls and things. Maybe you should be spending your money if you like impressing people on your house rather than your car. Just saying.
Yeah, and I mean, look, some people who've got the money and they like to drive and all, it's an amazing experience. I'm not, again, being a dick without a fancy car.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes just sort of an indicator of which fancy car is an indicator of mindset. And also the comparison between house and car is a good way to sort of see what a person's priorities are.
Well,
in terms of wealth.
Sia, you wanted to say something?
But if someone wants to show off, they'll always show off regardless.
When people have the opportunity, it's how they show off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They will always find the opportunity, though. That's the thing. My friends and I have this particular criteria that we now start to use as we view someone who shows off. You know, there's the type of person who will always keep their phone, their card holder or their car keys in their hands, even when there's no need, just so that you can see what they're up to. You know, someone will now just be, you know, swinging their keys around so that you can see what they're driving.
Yeah.
Or is someone who will very innocently, in inverted commas, take a photo of their lunch, for example, at a restaurant, but somehow there's their card holder which strategically has their black card popping out, or so that you see what it is. It's just like
cool fails in any aspect, whether it's showing off with your money or how woke you are or your hip, slick rock and roll vibe. All forms of cool fail when you're trying. And especially when it's tangible that you're trying. Some people can pull it off by trying in a way that is very well executed and doesn't appear like trying. But if you have the fancy ass car and you park it, and without like being a dick who doesn't give a shit and dents it on purpose, if you just get out like it ain't no thing and you have the afternoon and you get back in, then it's like, oh, that dude's car is cool. As soon as you're like, hey, look at me, you're like, that's such a douchebag car, and you're obviously compensating for something. Like, you lose all the value. You put in so much money and effort to be cool in the way you want, and then you blow it by just waving the little flag.
It's very Joburg.
And then there'll be the type of people who can rightfully brag about money or the things that they have, but they're the ones who really don't. So I remember ages ago, a friend of mine and I, we went out for drinks and dinner, and there was a table next to us of two gentlemen who were very interested in my friend. They were sort of just like flirting every now and then, and we're like, hey, yeah, whatever, we're just here to have fun, we're minding our own business. And as the night was winding to a close, the gentlemen were asking us, where are you guys going after this? And we're like, no, we're going home and we're just going to take an Uber. And the one guy says, actually, no, don't worry, you don't have to take an Uber. I'll drive you guys home. And we were staying at the same place. So we were like, oh, okay, screw it, whatever. And we leave with these guys. And these two guys were parked next to each other. The guy who offered to drive
us home. They
weren't
in one vehicle.
No. They were in two different cars parked side by side.
Yeah.
The one who was willing to drive us home, the loud one, the brash one, who really wanted to, you know, make an effort. No disrespect, was just in a Ford little something. The guy who was coy and quiet and reserved, who my friend was not paying attention to at all, was in a Porsche. We're like, girl, we need it. Change of plans, well, revert. We need to go back to the drawing board.
You've just let people know that you would accept lifts from strangers, dude.
You just let if that you don't. So basically, you're saying if quiet guy had left his Porsche key on the table, you would have chatted with him a lot more. So all that stuff you were just judging, criticizing, and complaining about.
Yeah.
He should have done that because it would have worked.
It would have worked. Look, I'm not going to be shy about it. Long story short, since I've already put myself in this position.
So if you drive a Porsche and you see Sia and you fancy a bit of Sia and you're a handsome, eligible young gentleman, put the keys on the goddamn table, mate. You just paid $2,000 for something and you're wasting it.
We did coax this gentleman.
$2 million, sorry.
Go and talk to him. While we were in the car park, that whole game plan changed. And yes, we did drive home.
But a Ford Figo usually equates to one of two things. Either broke or really good in bed and doesn't need a Porsche.
I want to just refer to something.
I can't afford a Porsche. No. I'm not pretending, I could have a Porsche if I wanted one, but I could definitely have a fancier car if it was a priority. I just, my crap Toyota that reminds me of the crap X I bought it from is fine for the twice a week I leave the house. I could get something nicer, but
Simon really summarizes the whole thing. Simon says the poor act like they're rich and the rich act like they're poor. That's exactly right.
I see some of the rich acting like they're pretty rich, if I'm honest.
Sometimes they just protest too much. You know, these people are like they're trying to give the idea that they are rich. Now, an interesting point being made by Jonathan Witt. He says it should occur to Dennis Davis that people who own Ferraris are usually older and they may actually have that money in the bank and therefore no longer earning that much a month, which is a very good point.
That's also a pretty good point.
People can earn dividends, but otherwise take small salaries from their companies. That's another good point. And he
also
says,
a good point. And you can put cars through the company.
Yeah, well, that doesn't really help you from a tax point of view anymore. But every person he says he knows who owns a supercar does so because they're car people, not because they're trying to show off.
Yeah, so and if you've got the money in the bank and you love Ferraris, then by all means, it's just the people who get it as a douche symbol that I'm and can't really afford it that I raise an eyebrow at and go, "What's wrong with your life, mate?"
Yeah.
Those that have got lots of money and want to spend their rich years racing Ferraris, knock yourselves out.
And by the way, just to end this topic off, because there's plenty of other stuff we've got to still get to this morning if we have the time, but there's also the point to be made that we would rather have even the crooks, we would rather have them buying supercars because that's what keeps the economy going. You know, I'd rather know that some horrible BEE tenderpreneur who's basically skimming 90% off a government contract and using our tax money for nefarious purposes, I'd rather have him putting that money straight back into the economy by buying himself shiny things than actually saving it or putting it into investments which don't help stimulate the local economy. So we've got to remember that car, that supercar that gets bought, it pays for the secretary who works at the dealership. It pays for the security guard at the entrance, the guy who cleans the oil at the petrol station. You know, that's how things work. So we mustn't complain about it.
What a sad level we've reached as a society if that's what we have to consider. Like, at least they're going to scam us.
You do. I mean,
now we've got the echo on Sia again, unless I'm the only one hearing it.
No.
Me too, again.
I can't hear an echo. There's nothing wrong on this side. Clinton says Ferrari is like a midlife crisis. Yeah, that's also true. I mean, I do know lots of people who have Ferraris who are not going through any crisis at all. They're way past middle age as well.
No.
Or they're young and they've done really well and they just want to reward themselves at something.
But with my deputy Dr. Phil hat on, what I've noticed about some people in my life ever since I haven't had a car is they project what a car means to them.
Yes.
And I've been saying I'm in no rush to get a new car. If I get a car, I get a car. But right now, I don't know.
No, but some people, it's an important part of their identity. It's like some people, it matters to them hugely what shoes they're wearing or you know, what shop they shop at for food.
I'm guilty of that. Like, I absolutely love sneakers. I love to pride myself on how, like, non-commercial I am with my personal branding. And I am now, officially as of yesterday, and this is a really big deal for me. This is one that matters. I'm able to buy underwear from ordinary stores. And that is a line where being on either side of it, even just by a little bit, is a huge impact on your quality of life.
So hang on.
A person who struggles with weight.
Okay. Oh, you mean you can buy? Ah, right. I understand. Because buying underwear is impossible from ordinary stores.
And not being able to get underwear is a really difficult thing. When
so
it's
where,
a real problem in
where
your
do
life.
You buy underwear if you're fat?
There's a few places you can go. And then once you pass that, you got to import them, which I was doing from the States. And then after that, you got to take a pair you like and get them made by like a clothing maker that can model the one you like and make it a bit bigger. I've had that done as well a lot with shorts. So I'm back in my Air Jordan shorts and my regular. I mean, look, they're 2XLs, but I can just go in a shop and pick underwear off the rack. And if they got a 2XL, I'm good.
Nice.
So that's really cool. But I'm kind of like, that was a big deal for me. Generally speaking, brands on clothing aren't, but I've got a thing for Nike Air Max Ones. I become the most commercial, soulless consumer in the world when you throw one of those in front of me. It's like I have to avoid at all costs websites and shit that sell them because I can't not buy them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've got to answer another question here. People are sending lots and lots of questions. So this one's from Savage Reader. Oi, Big G, did you see the cheat sheet that Biden had when they had pictures of reporters he must answer to with ready-made answers? Yeah, that's that. I'm afraid if you still think that the majority of the American media establishment isn't completely in the pocket of the Democratic Party, you are not paying attention to either the media or the Democratic Party, because that link is like it's like a wormhole. Whatever goes in one side comes out on the other and vice versa. The two are almost completely speaking with the same voice. There's no difference. So if you think
there was that great Sorry, GC.
No, no. If you think that there's any kind of objectivity left in the mainstream media in America, you are completely mistaken.
There was that great episode of South Park where it was an allegory for politics, and they were trying to nominate a new mascot for the school team, and the choice was between a giant turd and a huge douche. And that was like, you had to, and there was this huge, that people started fighting, and it like divided the whole town, because there was something racist about the school mascot being the cow. You know, they called the South Park cows, and their mascot's a cow. So they had to change it. And then the two proposals were just both terrible options. And it was so funny. If you haven't seen that episode, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but just search for South Park douche and giant poo.
Savage Reader also wants to know how the butter chicken was that my sister's boyfriend made for us on Sunday. It was awesome. My God. Like, I love a good butter chicken. Oh man.
Dude, I will make you a butter chicken when you come and visit me. I've learned on this keto jewel how to make some stuff. And I make a butter chicken that is, I'm on the brink of being actual kitchen sexy, not just capable of cooking, but like sexy when I do it. Cause I'm getting skilled. So yeah.
Oh.
Beware.
I accept your offer. Alistair says there's a business called Fat Man Underwear. Do you know about that?
I would love to have known about that a couple of months and for the last 5 years or so and for the first 28 years of my life. But I've Googled a lot, and usually, I mean, I don't know this one, so I can't say, well, that doesn't work. But most things like that, you get there and they don't ship here, or it's got to go through the post office or something. So what I've got is a mate with a business that ships things.
Yeah.
And you can't like order from JCPenney if you're not inside the States. Even with the power of Tunnel Bear VPN, they still know that your credit card is your credit card is from the wrong country. So I've got to, my buddy Gil, he's got to buy them, have them shipped to his company, and then bring them here when his company brings stuff here.
Okay.
It takes a couple of months, and it costs about, you end up spending $3,000-$4,000 on 12 pairs of underwear.
Well, Tabo's horrified that I said, where do you buy underwear if you're fat? How else are you meant to ask that question?
Oh, gosh.
At which location, in the event that you are rotund, do you purchase garments for the under?
Right. Amy says,
I think he thinks you were being insensitive calling me fat. I think fat is the best adjective for fat.
That's right.
And if other people want to be offended on my behalf, they can. Hmm. I think you're calling someone nasty, horrible shit. I also don't think that's okay. But the word fat, to me, is like, it's the best word for fat. What else are we going to skirt around? Give me a snowflake word for fat and we'll use that instead.
Well, there are, you know, there are those body positivity people, and they say that there's a fat community, which I think is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. It's like, what, all the fat people get together and have meetings about being fat? Gord, you haven't been to one of those meetings, have you?
No, but I've come to realize that, you know, you do need support infrastructure when there's essentially something very wrong with you and you don't know what the cause is or how to fix it. Like, I've only realized now at almost 40 that it's not actually me. I'm just especially intolerant of carbs in a society where the primary food source isn't food. So I'm not becoming evangelical on the keto thing. All right. I've just come to realize that actually it's not just spending your life trying to ignore and fight against the screaming voice. You can actually turn the screaming voice off. So when you think that that's your life and there's nothing you can do about it and no one can understand, because thin people telling you how to diet is totally useless, it's good to be with other people that get it, because there's a lot we go through that you just never having underwear.
Are you saying there is a fat community? I mean, the first thing
I'm saying I understand the need for support groups and a community, like, to support each other, because there's a lot that only someone who's been through it and going through it can understand. There's a lot of stuff other people don't even know about.
Would you do me a favor? Could you please just put on an email where these fat community meetings are so I know to avoid them?
No, I told you I don't. I've never been to one, and I'd also rather avoid them. But I understand why people suffering from something would want to have groups.
I imagine nothing worse than stumbling in on one of those fat community meetings by mistake, and
the chairs would be very sturdy,
Gareth,
and the snacks would probably be quite good.
Jesus, Gordo, you've never been to my house, and you know I've got a no fat people, no communist rule. But the way you're losing weight, soon you'll be allowed.
I'll be allowed, yeah.
That's great.
And I'll be nimble enough to come catch the rabbits.
By the way,
I want to hit the ground rabbiting.
I wish I had some updates.
There's
for you.
The daily rabbit mention.
Yeah, we haven't had a rabbit mention because they haven't been back since last year.
I've got a new theory. Gone. You know the carrot and the stick, right? You know the one where you can like ride a simpleton animal by holding a carrot on a stick just in front of it and it will keep chasing it?
Yes.
So I've got an idea for the bunnies, right? A very long stick
yeah.
with a stuffed bear on the other side. And you hold it on the other side of them and shake it, and they'll run towards you. So it's the opposite of the carrot thing. It's like you just fake bear chase them towards you.
I don't know that that's the best idea.
Why did you think about
ever.
This exactly?
Because I've got Garrett's rabbits are on my mind a lot.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Friesland and
Gandalf.
Gandalf. There, yeah. Unfortunately, I really do believe that it's been such a long time now. We have to accept they're both dead. So we've got to stop talking about these rabbits like they're in the present tense.
But your complex is going to get new ones to freeze in the winter. They replace them every spring and autumn.
But can I tell you what we had yesterday is quite a big deal on our like neighborhood WhatsApp group, which I mute it, but occasionally I'll check in. There was a bird of prey that flew into something and it was injured, and it was next to the side of the road. It turns out to be like a honey buzzard or something. I'm no expert on birds, but my brother is. He said it's a honey buzzard. So it's quite a substantial bird of prey. And they've apparently been spotted in the area. It must have been disorientated, or it must have misjudged a distance. And those things have, you know, birds of prey have the most incredible eyesight of all animals. They really, I mean, like an osprey is famous for being, you know, able to see things from hundreds and hundreds of meters away. Anyway,
and they see in UV, which is the most awesome thing.
Unbelievable.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's important that people Google pigeons under UV, because you think pigeons are the lamest, chittest looking birds ever.
Yes.
They are properly on some fabulous shit. Birds can see the UV spectrum like when you're under a blue light.
Yes.
And their actual patterns and shit are predominantly UV. So they appreciate a green and a purple feather, Mr. Lurie. Oh. But what they appreciate more is when you like burst into flame like an installation at Burning Man when I look at you with my UV eyes.
Oh,
so if you go look at birds under UV, you see birds the way that other birds see the birds. And you'll know that pigeons deserve some respect on their name for their floss game.
That's very cool. I didn't know that at all. That's fantastic.
Yeah, geez, okay. Neither did I.
Because pigeons are sexy as hell.
And they got that cool we were talking about earlier where they're just like, oh, yeah, you think we're pigeons.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the rave starts.
Yeah, meanwhile, they are like they're like all on MDMA. All right, so
if you let a bunch of pigeons loose in a rave where people are already on drugs and they could then see the pigeons the way they really look, brain explosions, like that episode of The Boys where just heads explode.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's fantastic. I will look this up immediately. But this bird of prey was disorientated, might have flown into something. And luckily it was okay because it did get up eventually and fly away. But I mean, that's like a lot more exciting than seeing a rabbit.
It would have been fine if it was a bird of science.
It wouldn't be
it
a show.
It took me a moment to get that one.
Yeah, it wouldn't
it
be a show
took me a moment.
Unless we had some stab at religion and a mention of the rabbits. So thanks for that, Gordo. You're nothing if
at
not
least
consistent.
You're on
a bird of
Gareth,
science.
At least you aren't getting birds flying into your window anymore.
No, that's still happening, hey? It's mostly doves.
Birds commit suicide against your house.
They do.
That's quite antichristy of you, Gareth.
I know. They fly straight into the windows, and then they leave this mark of like, you know, pressed up against the window. It's and then you see the body on the ground. I mean, a lot of them fly.
You could just let it gather for a day or two, and then pick up the pieces, and it's ready to bry.
No.
Ew, God.
They fly hard enough to disassemble themselves.
No. It's really bad. I mean, I don't know why they're doing it, but apparently
you were talking about the bird with the eyesight. So, like, that's another thing. They can not only see you with, like, an eye that's the equivalent of, like, one of the most awesome handheld telescopes you can get. You also glow with rave colors while you think you're hiding in the green leaves. I'm a tiny ferret, and I'm under lots of leaves. You're going with rave energy
honestly,
that the eye can see from almost space.
I did not know about this UV thing. But maybe all the birds in my neighborhood have really terrible eyesight. So maybe there's, like, some kind of macular degeneration problem going on with birds in my neighborhood.
By flying into things.
Yeah.
Pigeon ultraviolet.
Oh.
You learn something new. Don't know it. Even if it starts at 6 a.m., God, we value you for teaching us new things.
In the early 1970s, a researcher testing the ability of pigeons to discriminate colors discovered by accident that the birds can see ultraviolet, in brackets UV light. But during the following decade, systematic testing of bird vision revealed something unexpected. Many bird species, not just pigeons, can see UV light.
Amazing. Yeah, I want to see pictures of that. I wonder if we could put on like UV lights, put them in a room and just observe them for a little bit. That sounds really cool. All right. Captain Cook says, I don't know what this means, but heard Gord on Deals ad this week. Is there a, are you in a Deals ad?
I work as a voice artist where as an actor, I perform characters.
Okay.
It's never
it's
me.
Actor.
Yeah. So I may play somebody in certain brand adverts, but I prefer not
so
to say.
So what you're saying is it wasn't
look,
you?
No, what I'm saying is my, no, I just, I don't want to talk about what I do for my clients, whether they're advertising clients or voice clients.
No, that's fine.
On a show where I have some divisive opinions and, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't want to be anywhere. I don't want anyone's company to suffer because I said something stupid on the radio. It's just acting. I put on an accent, I read the lines and then I go home.
No, I get you. You don't want to get into a discussion about it. Yeah. Okay.
People no, but just... I do lots of ads and some of these people have correctly called them out. Some of them not. Some of them are right.
But, it means people recognize your voice. That's cool. All right. If
but
you're wondering...
lots where you would never recognize my voice. I do more voiceovers where you would never in a million years. You're like, who are the douches that do these ads? Like, did you know that you can get up to 25% off selected wheelchairs? Or you go like,
get the Hitachi 7000 watt man drill from Builder's Face Pace. Builder's Face Pace. Men with things. Was $7.99. Now $5.99. Save 200 rand.
If you are wondering where Sean Sanders is, he was not able to join us this morning, but he will join us tomorrow probably to give us
an update. The only reason I did the show was to look at Sean.
Damn it.
Live. Wow. It's special live. I know we can watch old footage of him, but when you know that you it's happening now, it's just so
you
much
can,
more visceral.
You can see him tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about cryptocurrencies and about some of the new things that Revix is up to. And there's all kinds of cool things. PayPal and Visa have made news this week, and we'll find out about what they've done. So if you're looking at the price, it's actually $58,705 again. It went down to like $52,000 when we last spoke to him, so it shows you how it can swing. It's incredible. That price is just up and down the whole time.
I was going to set up a whole joke about LA gangs and violence and how they're now accepting crypto as currency. Going into the experimental drawer for later.
All right. Yeah, keep that one for another time. It seems like you haven't refined that joke properly yet.
No, it needs work, but I'll come back with it.
All right.
We've got time. Sean's not
coming. And I do believe you will.
Well, we are on tomorrow and we are on Tuesday next week, but we're certainly not doing the show Friday morning or Monday morning. So,
nor should you be wanting to listen to the show unless you're one of those people who streams it for the live listeners. If you expect a show, you need to get more friends.
Absolutely. And it's time for you to sleep in the mornings on Friday and Monday because it's a long weekend. We don't want you to work. We don't want you to be doing anything important at those times. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's about time. We are calling it quits for the morning and we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, Sia. And we will check in tomorrow, bright and early, 6 a.m. Be good if you're not, take photos.
UV pigeons.
UV pigeons.
Bye, everyone. CliffCentral.com.